Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is AJ, 10-7 Live Show. Tonight, we are talking about the national championship. We're just talking about college football tonight. We're going to talk about possible matchups in the national championship. We're going to get it cracking and get it started. Right now, let's get it popping right now and let's just discuss this whole four seed thing. Okay, so Clemson nailed their spot, Oklahoma nailed their spot, and Georgia nailed their spot. With Miami losing to Clemson and Wisconsin losing to Ohio State, it pretty much opened the door for Alabama to get in. It was going to be inevitable that those two teams would lose, and that would let Alabama back in the national championship game. But everyone was saying, hey, it was like everybody was like, well, hey, Alabama's not a conference champion. But what saved Alabama and put them in that spot, right now, because of the playoff and how everything is set up, it's all about timing and when you lose. The crazy part about Bama, they lost their last regular season game, which was a rivalry game to a highly ranked opponent, which happened to be a rival. Now, people are like, okay, how does that work when Ohio State won their conference championship? Well, here's what kept Ohio State out of the championship. Ohio State had a 30-plus point loss to Iowa, who was also defeated by Wisconsin. And then on top of that, the number two team in the nation, who just happens to be Oklahoma, is who they lost their season opener. I'm not going to say it was their season opener, but I'm just going to say they lost their early season game to Oklahoma, the team they beat last year. Now, the crazy part about the Ohio State team from the beginning of the season that played Oklahoma to the Ohio State team that would finish up the season, it would probably be a different outcome if that was a later season game between Oklahoma and Ohio State, but that's another subject. I honestly believe that the playoff should go to an 8-team format for this reason. Number one, even with how everything played out, every conference would have still had a shot. You know, no matter what, every conference would have had a shot. Everybody at the top four would be in. Ohio State would definitely be in. Central Florida, who's undefeated, would be in. USC would have also been in. And I think Miami would have been. No, I don't think Miami would have. Yes, Miami would have. No, I'm not sure about Miami. But either way, the right teams would have been in. But at the top, 1-4, you know, everything would have played out for the most part. And it would come out as a more true national championship playoff. This 4-team format leaves too much room for controversy. Everybody was talking about body of work and basically win-loss wins against ranked teams, total body of work, you know, plus win-loss record and conference championship. But the variable, I mean, the monkey wrench in everything, everybody at the top pretty much had one loss. You know what I'm saying? It would have been hard. Put it this way, the only way Ohio State would have gotten in with two losses was if Alabama had lost by more than if Alabama had lost by more than 20 points, Ohio State would have gotten in as a two-loss team. That was the only way it was going to happen. Okay. Now, every team that's in pretty much has a legit shot to win the national championship. Clemson definitely has a good shot. Clemson has a good shot. Georgia has a good shot. And Alabama also has a good shot. But Oklahoma is probably the only team in the group of the Big Four that has a defense that doesn't play defense. I was talking about this with a couple of friends of mine. The defense in the Big 12 as a whole is nowhere where it was when the Big 12 started. Defense in the Big 12 is pretty much non-existent for the most part, give or take one or two teams, TCU and Oklahoma. Now, in Oklahoma's defense, you know what I'm saying, Oklahoma's offense just happens to be a little bit better than TCU's defense. And it causes a lot of problems for TCU. TCU had a hard time matching up. And I've listened to a lot of Oklahoma fans say, hands down, they have the deepest receiving core of anybody in the Big 12. One could argue, actually, that Oklahoma State has the deepest wide receiver core in college football. I mean, goodness gracious, they can go down to their fifth and sixth receiver and not have a fifth, sixth, seventh receiver and there not be a drop-off. I don't think Oklahoma is that deep at receiver. Now, the receivers that they do have, those guys are good. I mean, those guys are good. I mean, goodness gracious. Then on top of that, they have two backs that can catch out of the backfield. Now, the one thing that trips me out about Oklahoma is the fact that Oklahoma can put up 45 points, but they're going to give up 28 to 35 in the process of putting up those points. And so my question is, what are they going to do against a defense like Clemson? And Clemson has Oklahoma's number, you know what I'm saying? And then on top of that, Oklahoma defensively, Oklahoma is kind of covering people, you know, with their scheme. It's almost like they're really, really good at covering their weaknesses. Well, they can do that in the Big 12, but when you meet a team like a Clemson or Georgia, you know, Georgia has one of the top linebackers in the country. I believe he was a Heisman Trophy candidate. And if you kind of look at what he's done this season, his stats kind of mirror the stats of Manti Te'o back in 2012. This kid has 113 tackles, 10.5 tackles for losses, 5.5 sacks, and 2 fumble recoveries. This kid is a, goodness gracious, this kid is unbelievable. Like, this kid is top-notch. There's no other way to say it, but this kid is top-notch. Like, this kid can go, you know what I'm saying? But Alabama has a chance to redeem themselves, you know what I'm saying? A lot of game planning has to go on, you know what I'm saying? So I think what's going to end up happening is going to end up being Alabama and Clemson, or in Georgia and Oklahoma in the first round of playoff, you know, the semifinal, you know what I'm saying? So we're going to see how that turns. We're really going to get a chance to see how that turns out, you know what I'm saying? And I really do believe that it's going to make for an interesting season finale, you know what I'm saying? So, but like I said, just got to get back to the drawing board. I mean, on all 4 teams, Clemson is probably the best team in the country on third down, hands down. Clemson is the top team on third down. They're very, very efficient, and their efficiency is kind of killer in a way, because number one, all the talent that they lost last year from that national championship team, they lost a lot, and now they're back in the national championship picture in the playoff. And so their only loss was to Syracuse, and then the next week, Miami blasted Syracuse, you know. So it's, you know, just certain losses kind of turn the college football world upside down. And, with Georgia, Georgia just had a bad day against Auburn, you know what I'm saying? Offensively, they just couldn't get it. You know what I'm saying? The defense also had a bad game, and that didn't help Georgia's situation at all. So, you know, Georgia kind of, you know, righted the ship. You know, the timing in which they played Auburn, and, you know, them pretty much playing it out, you know what I'm saying, put them in position to get to the East game. And, you know what I'm saying, they ended up, you know, getting Auburn again. And this time they handled their business against Auburn. And so it was just overall just a good matchup. And let's talk about Alabama. Here's the thing about this Alabama loss. You have to look at it from both. Okay, hands down, it was a loss. You know what I'm saying? They got outplayed. Auburn went on a run, and, you know, they scored, 24 unanswered points, roughly? Something like that. You know, but, you know, Alabama, the majority of the season was in the linebacker position and in the secondary. They had probably 6 or 7 key starters, you know. I mean, key starters, and it really, really reached into their depth. You know what I'm saying? And so in certain positions, you know what I'm saying, you were pretty much playing with second and third team guys. But the scary part about Bama is, you know, they're the top recruiting. They have the top recruiting class year in and year out. And with having the top recruiting class year in and year out, you're going to get the best of the best in quality from pretty much anywhere, not just in the South. And so when you think of the quality of player, it's almost like, man, they held it down. You know, now the Mississippi State game was a scare. It was a scare. They threw a pass to a receiver who hadn't caught anything throughout the game, and I want to say that one catch was his first catch of the year. I believe the guy was a freshman. He caught it, took it to the house, and it was a play that they hadn't ran all game. And so I think that was just a stroke of somewhat genius, you know, for the offensive coordinator at Bama. And so their talent and their depth, they're going to get a lot of starters back for this semifinal game. And I believe this game is going to be pretty huge. Now, let's talk about Oklahoma. Oklahoma is probably – they're pedal to the floor. But the thing is, they have not seen defenses like a Georgia defense who has one of the top linebackers in the country, or a defense like Clemson who's just gifted – all around, you know what I'm saying? For some crazy reason, I think Oklahoma, for whatever reason, I think they're going to start off throwing the ball. I think they're going to throw a bunch of short passes and then take shots deep. Oklahoma does kind of have a question mark. Are they going to have Anderson for the playoff? You know, due to some recent sexual harassment or sexual assault allegations, it's up in the air if he'll make the trip or whatever's going on in that situation. It's a scary situation. I mean, it really is a scary situation. And I just really honestly believe that it's just something that has to be dealt with. But at the same time, it's something that has to be dealt with. And Oklahoma's going to figure it out. But at the same time, if they don't have him, they're going to lose a key receiver. And that could possibly hurt their game plan a little bit, because he's caught some key passes in a few key games. I mean, goodness gracious. And he is their top rusher. And they're really, really going to need that guy. But the main thing about Oklahoma, that defense has not been tested, and that defense has not played. If you look on the flip side, the Oklahoma offense hasn't seen a real defense, and the Oklahoma defense has not faced offenses that are either just as good as them or better outside of Oklahoma State. I mean, that secondary at Oklahoma was getting – I mean, that secondary in Bedlam game, that secondary for Oklahoma was getting eaten alive. But what ended up happening, the quarterback – there were two things that happened. The quarterback went away from Aitman, their top receiver. When you don't go to Aitman, you know what I'm saying? When you don't go to Aitman and you keep going to the other side of the field, you know, and then throwing it underneath, you're taking your biggest weapon out of the game. And that is how Oklahoma won the Bedlam game. Oklahoma State had a chance to win that game on two occasions in the fourth quarter, and they did not. First of all, they threw an interception and they scored shortly thereafter. I mean, it was just a bad deal all around. But Oklahoma has to step up on both sides of the ball. They can't do what they do against the Big 12 against a team like a Clemson or a Georgia or an Alabama. Those things are not going to work. You know, those defenses are just as fast as the offense in the SEC and the ACC. And that's something that Lincoln Riley is really going to really have to, you know, game plan around. Oklahoma can't make any mistakes no matter who they play. Oklahoma can't make any mistakes because if they throw interceptions, chances are those things can go to the house really, really quickly. But that's a good plus on the side of Baker Mayfield. He's thrown only 5 interceptions. And even with that being said, their only loss was to Iowa State. Iowa State played Oklahoma in a manner that it was almost like Oklahoma was looking past them. Because I want to say that they had a big game coming up after the Iowa State game. And, you know, when you're looking past an opponent, when you have a big game the next week and when you play and you're playing a team that's in front of you that's not all really that, I mean, to you, you figure, oh, okay, we're going to beat this team no matter what, blah, 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 blah. And this team faces you straight up, and they're giving you problems, and before you know it, there's 3 seconds left on the clock, and you have a loss. You go from undefeated to losing. And so I'm pretty sure that the defensive coordinators of the other 3 respective schools, they're pretty much analyzing that Iowa State tape, you know what I'm saying, the Iowa State game. That is something that they're all looking at. And so, we're going to figure it out soon. They're going to, this playoff is going to be interesting. And, this playoff is going to be interesting. Now, we're going to get off of the playoff for a minute. We're going to just talk about Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield is this year's Heisman Trophy winner. Baker Mayfield had one of the best college football seasons. You know what I'm saying? And what's really, really crazy is the fact that a lot of people outside of Oklahoma believed that, you know, hands down. Now, I'm going to say this. A lot of people outside of the state of Oklahoma are not going to agree with this, but it is the honest-to-God truth. Lamar Jackson's numbers are even better than they were from last year. And he was consistently doing what he's done last year and even gotten his numbers even got better. But the scary part is because of the conference he plays in and the team that he plays on, everything that he did this year was overshadowed by Baker Mayfield. Now, my question, a lot of people ask the question, a lot of people outside of Oklahoma or outside, let's just say outside of the Big 12, a lot of people figured, okay, why is Lamar Jackson even being mentioned? And, well, this dude is rushing for 100, 200 yards on top of throwing for 200, 300, and 400 yards, you know, 3, 4, and 5 touchdowns a game. And so, you know, it's just and the crazy part about it, Lamar is not playing with the same amount of athletes as, you know, I mean – now, offensive line-wise, that Louisville offensive line is probably just as good as OU's. You know what I'm saying? And, man, I really do think that would have been a good game to watch, Louisville versus Oklahoma. But Baker Mayfield has pretty much played with a passion that it was almost like as soon as he stepped foot in Norman, he didn't want his Oklahoma Sooner Nation to lose. And Baker Mayfield, you know, we're going to see what he does in the national playoff. You know what I'm saying? And so hopefully everything turns out okay. And we're going to have a big bang of a finale as far as the ending of this year's college football season. The next episode will be on Wednesday. So be sure to tune in. The 10-7 live show is random. We talk about any and everything, but we're just focusing on sports right now, as of right now. But stay tuned. Thank you for listening, and talk to you later. I'm AJ Jones, Mr. 10-7 himself. Peace, and I'm out. Much love.